Introducing Marguerite, who is just phenomenal. What was interesting is when Timothy and I decided to do an evening where the theme would be fairies and dragons, I can tell you, 2 or 3 days later, I opened my email, and there was an email from Marguerite, and she was offering an Awaken to Your Fairy Kin online course, and I thought, she's into fairies? Really? All the other things. And I thought, I've got to take that. And then I wrote and I said, would you? And she's come to Stargate before, was familiar with Stargate. And I thought, what a perfect match this would be. I wonder if I could coax her to come and talk about fairies.
And she said, yes. Are you kidding? Of course, no coaxing needed.
Okay, so go for it.
All right, thank you. It's an honor to be here. Thank you, Karin and Timothy, because you do such beautiful work with this Stargate. And we've set the space quite well. So I think, really, when I was tuning in today, there was just one major message. And it was that it's very important for us to be out in nature as much as possible. And that is getting increasingly challenging as we get more and more and more reliant and addicted to the technology. And we get more and more interior, not in a good way. We're going into not a meditational, open, expansive space, but this sort of cyber dead reality that seems living because we're connecting through typographical communications with people, but it's not. And so they're saying, get out in nature as much as possible with intention, get out with groups. And as Karin was saying, when, you know, where two or more are gathered for meditation, let that sometimes be outside, or let it be a fairy play, and I'll be talking about something or an opportunity for that later. Because what was happening to me is I was so jacked up and hyped up today from things that had been going on the last few days. It took me half a day just to get calm, and I was out in the yard. I decided, all right, I'm going to meditate out here. And it took me an entire hour before I could even realize that I was outside. Okay? Because I had brought my interior and my cyber interior just out into the yard, you know? And that's how we're spinning around doing multitasking in the interiors of the computer technology. So that is really antithetical to fairy reality. One other thing I wanted to mention, I was talking to my mentor, Patricia Anderson, who happens to also be in the fairy course. And she pointed out something that in one of the meditations that she did, where I took everybody into the fairy realm, she went into a dead zone, a dead realm. And she's very psychic and very clairvoyant, and she said, what the heck is going on? And so through the whole thing that was happening, she realized that she went into an AI reality. So I need to tell you, you know, I think you're all aware, but it has to be underlined and then put in bold and yellow highlighting. This AI situation is quite threatening and tricky and subtle. Because here's how subtle it is. When she and I were talking, we realized, oh my God. First of all, this started with Disney, okay, who infantilized the fairies and gave us a sort of view, like we could sort of have Tinkerbell, but there's something else going on. And then I realized, oh my God, the movie Avatar. Look at the double and triple mind frick that they did with that film. Because I was like, something's off for me with this film, yet I love the whole thing about the people around the world tree, da da da, but something's off. what we realized is that film was giving us a total mind confusion message about what reality to be in and how to get there. So what they were doing was they were showing you the sexiness of what's going to be happening in the future, which is, ooh, with all of this computer virtual reality, I can go into these realms. And then the more they're going to do this, they're going to combine it with drugs. This is already happening, and I heard this whacked out guy talking about this whatever his name is, forgetting what his name is. And so this is going to be like a real thing where you actually go into these dead cyber realities that seem like gaming reality, real things. And so that movie Avatar was in training us to think about going in and out and in and out of the zone. And here's the other double mind control, mind frick message that they give you. The military is both the problem and the solution. Okay, if you think about that film, the big bad military, and yet the whole setup is a military scenario that's saving this other world, this fake other dead fairy world. So it's totally confusing, and you have to be very awake and alert and adroit as to what's going on with these technology gaming things that they're doing. And it's like, I know that this group gets it, like, you're getting it on like three different levels of what's happening.
I think this is amazing. The thing I listened to for 2 hours from you to see to hear was Stephen Greer talking about this very thing.
Okay.
And these applications of, you know, working with the mind and controlling it and this kind of thing has already been going on for the last 70 years.
Oh.
It started,
yes,
you know, way back, and it's already in play.
Yeah. So we need to distinguish.
That's what he was talking
about. The real
about.
Fairy realm,
mm-hmm,
when we start going into the imaginal.
Mm-hmm.
From the Disney image fairy realm that they've already put, like somebody was saying, oh, I saw Disney. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Check that. Double, triple check that, you know, mm-hmm, because they're going to try to hook you to go into there.
Mm-hmm.
So the organic fairy realm is about, it interfaces, as Celestine was saying, it interfaces with the mesh of organic carbon-based DNA, period. And that's what we want to be with, go with, recultivate, and maintain in our own bodies as well. So, you know, the fairies are like, you know, wow, stick with the organic Gaia, organic ascension timeline, as Laura Eisenhower says, all right? So I just, that's like hot off the presses, because Patricia and I were just talking this week, and I thought, oh my God, you know, like at every turn. So what I thought is the best and most fun thing to do is just to go into a cosmic Q&A, all right? Like I'll just go in, and you provide the questions, okay? As to what you want to look at, what you want to know about. Some of it may be stuff that I've already received that I've been teaching. Some of it may be new, you know, that I don't know either. Okay, does that sound good? Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I'm like really excited because it's like everything I've been listening to in the past month. Like I've been listening to Laura Eisenhower,
mm-hmm,
some other guy named Don somebody.
Right.
Who was talking about this. So I feel like, and so that message in the meditation was about, you know, the earth, in its, because of the toxicity and what we're doing, even as humanity,
yeah,
you know, getting back to the organic, but is there a multidimensional realm within the fairy realm? How does
yeah,
how does they have multidimensional?
Huh?
Definitely still multidimensional, but she's going to go in and let us ask questions.
Yeah.
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 So that was like right in the, what I was receiving is like, okay, I want to be more connected.
Yeah.
I want to know it's real.
Yeah, you want to go there, and you want to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And there are ways, and you can take my course retroactively. It's all because we're not going to have time tonight, but I take people on these journeys. I mean, Karen gave us a beautiful one,
mm-hmm.
but there's other ones where you meet a fairy ally. You merge with it. You meet a dragon. We have a gathering, a group gathering, in the fairy realm, and co-create.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So,
okay.
Should we do the questions with talking sticks so that we know we can all hear?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So just raise your hand if you have a question, and okay. I'll take the talking stick around.
Okay.
Okay, so first of all, the message here is that, you know, although we've begun with an alarm, there's just a reminder here that the fairy realm is really all about delight, relaxation, pleasure, ease, grace, mystery, magic, and the imaginal. So they're not suggesting that you start doubting your imagination. It's just that you be alert to different places you can go in your imagination, and always affirm, I wish to go to the authentic realm of the fairies.
Mm.
Whenever you go in your meditation, the authentic, organic realm of the fairies. And I'm just inviting them again to be with us. And the dragons, the unicorns, the many races of the fairies. All right. So let's begin with the first question.
I was just wondering about the English movie about the two little girls who, it's an older movie, and it happened a long time ago about they supposedly took photos of these fairies by the water, and the brother had died, and he had, you know, made a little house for them and everything. When I watched that, I really do believe that they did see what they saw. Now, I talked to someone else who's written books about gnomes and things, and she said, oh no, they proved that false. That was just false. And I didn't get that hit when I saw the movie, and I just wondered what your take was on that.
So, what I'm getting is that it's not even so much whether those children in particular were seeing something real, that many children have seen something
yes,
real.
Yes.
Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, and you can access, and it's more, you know, as Patricia was saying this week when we spoke about this whole other thing, it's more like the Beatrix Potter and the people, the Yeats, and the people who've been writing about fairies, and the people who have collected the fairy stories, and those, that quality of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, it feels like that film has that quality,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
So there's always going to be people saying, oh, that was debunked, oh, that was debunked, you know. And it's like, what it will come down to is you accessing the fairies for yourself.
Right.
Period, regardless of whoever. Okay? All right,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Thank you. When you first suggested for us to find our question, I was suddenly feeling that all the bacteria in my body, not negatively, you know, we're mostly bacteria actually, that I was suddenly wondering. I suddenly felt like I am all these. I'm a collective consciousness. I am a collective consciousness. And I was wondering about the fairy nature of the bacteria.
Mm-hmm. So, when I did go into a medicine ceremony about this before, I started the class, I was with Maura McCarley Torkelson, and basically they showed us that there's a fairy for everything. Like holding up your eyelash, you know, the last one on your eye. I mean, it's like infinite. And so yes, to some degree, they get involved in all that as well. Like, they mesh in with organic life in ways that would surprise us. So it's not just the plant world, although that is their premier area, but there are like other legions of them that can start getting into our physical bodies and, you know, the various aspects of our physical bodies down to the minuscule molecules and things like that. So you know, the interdimensional beings connected with what we experience as bacteria, again, are miraculous and fascinating, and the whole universe unto themselves. And I think, you know, we can broadly move fairy into that, or consider that part of a fairy realm, so to speak. But there's just so many nations and things of fairies and races.
Fascinating.
So in the meditation, I was telling Karen, right? That I'm very visual, so I saw all the fairies and all the dragons and unicorn, everything all together, and it felt like when she was saying what message, you know, bringing forth all the elementals. And like you said, because I was going to ask, just to confirm that there are multiple races or collectives of fairies.
Yeah.
The sense that I was receiving was, because the symbol that I received was a key, and it's as if the, you know, hybrid humans, which I really don't think were human, or many more things, have a piece of the picture for, and it's like they're calling us all to work with them. And
yeah.
I don't know if you can speak to the bigger vision.
Oh, they definitely are. I mean, first of all, yes, there's the whole phenomenon of the human fairy hybrid. So again, that meshing. You know, Tom Kenyon talks about that the original humans were made out of primates into whom fairies would come in just to have a sexual experience in 3D. And they would overstay, and then that is what the builder races that had created humanity made humans out of, which is an interesting concept to think about. So it may be that we have fairy DNA from the get-go, what I call DNA, you know. What I've encountered quite a bit, and there are numbers of us in this room, are the human fairy hybrid. In other words, a soul that has incarnated into a human body, but your soul has pulled in a whole bunch of fairy DNA because that's part of where you're from in your lives or your past lives, and your mission was to come into this three-dimensional body to remember that you're a fae, and then to start activating your mission in the world, which would have to do with waking up others to the reality of this shamanic dimension, going forth with your nature preserving or nature loving activities or nature cultivating activities, and so forth and so on. So many, many different things. So the human fairy hybrid situation is something that people are starting to awaken to now, and then we're finding each other and we're saying, okay, now what? You know, what do we do together? Well, let's create a conference. Let's create a human fairy hybrid conference. Let's create a real booth at these Renaissance fairs, a human fairy booth, where people can come in and have dialogue and tea and say, you know, I have a list of all these qualities that indicate what I've seen in people And usually I can spot it pretty quickly, and I'll say, wow, you know, you kind of look like, or do you have any connection with the Fae? And they're like, oh, I do! You know, as a child, I had pointy ears, and then I went, and I always love them, and I have fairy friends, and I love the nature. So it's like, these are all, you know, some of the characteristics. And then there's a discomfort of being in the human body for most human fairy hybrids as well. There's congenital issues oftentimes, or whatever. The bigger vision, should I talk to that?
Yes,
about, okay, so the bigger vision for the fairies in terms of getting us to awaken to their reality is that they're linked with us karmically. And so wherever we go, they go. And they're trying to nudge us in this direction through the awakenings. You know, through the, like, hey, let's give her the blue dragons of Venus idea. Mm-hmm. You know, like, ding. But humans are like, oh, gruff. So the fairies are like getting pulled and yanked, and they're trying to just go. Nora Harald channeled that we are moving into fifth dimensional consciousness. They're moving into sixth dimensional consciousness. They're already in fifth, which is why we don't see them so much anymore. Because most humans have come, you know, we're out of fifth dimensional seeing, except at those times where the veils are thin or whatever. So it's important that we move into fifth dimensional consciousness so that they can continue their evolution into sixth dimensional consciousness. And so they do depend on Earth being preserved for their survival as much as humans do. And when we decimate large swaths of nature, we destroy their home, their habitat, and many of them. Because they're enmeshed with the flowers. They're enmeshed with the trees. How do you want to see a fairy? Look at a flower. That's how it looks in three-dimensional reality. Okay, and you can see faces, you can see dragons on Mount Burdell. They're all over with the trees and how they are. and so they poke through. And so when we kill nature, we kill them. And there have been other holocausts that they have had when the Archons and the Reptilians came into this domain and decimated them and decimated dragons, and there's a whole confusion between dragon and reptilian. Mm-hmm. Okay, because that was deliberately set by negative angelics that used dragon DNA to create reptilians and then create the confusion. So that then you have great beings that are killing dragons when they think they're killing reptilians. And everyone's confused as to who are the good guys and who are the bad guys, and then dragons get a bum rap. And they all, those negative ones, love that, because it's like, yeah, kill the protector of that oracle portal. Yeah. Yeah, think it's a reptilian and kill it. Okay, so this is another game that's been going on. So now that people are starting to get in with the reptilians, everybody has to sort out what's a reptilian. I mean, in with the dragons, they have to sort out what's a dragon, what's a reptilian, and what's a serpent. What's a reptile? Mm-hmm. Okay, right? Mm-hmm. So serpents and reptiles are emanations of dragons the way flowers and trees are emanations of fairies. They're things you can see, right? Whereas the larger force is the telluric kind of dragon energy that you can see with your fifth dimensional eyes and your imagination, but these are different, we're sorting out. This is not the negative reptilianoids who've created problems here. So that's another thing that's a big vision picture of getting sorted out so that we can return our dragons. Humans have to call them back to the portals. They've been scattered from a lot of the portals. So you have to call them back in, call them back into your gardens, to protect, because the old paradigm was the dragon or serpent is the guardian of the garden, or the oracle portal, like at Delphi. So you have to call them back in, and you have to call back in the fairies. And you can do this by planting trees, but also going into your garden or yard or any burnt out place and putting crystals or shiny objects and calling them in, calling them to come in, calling them to repopulate your yard more than they are. And if you're using a lot of Miracle-Gro and Roundup and da-da-da, that creates distorted fairy beings. So they're like, you know when you see humans that are deformed because of chemicals? Well, fairies are like that with those plants and things. And the roses that you get that have no thorns and no smell, they're like dead matter. There's no fairy energy, and the whole flower industry is a travesty around that. Okay, so everybody's starting to awaken like, holy crap. Wow, those flowers that I got from Whole Foods? Jesus, they had no organic life to them. They're just pumping them out like Velveeta cheese, you know. They're using the DNA, using the fairy energy partially. Right? This is part of it. So returning to organic nature, the soil, you know, that Melanie's studying about, nutrifying it again, planting the seeds, Wangari Maathai, right? Before they took her out, was planting the seeds. And now we have tree sisters who are planting the seeds, reorganizing the planet. This is part of what does need to happen because they've desertified large swaths and they're concretizing, you know, places and things, and then that gets everybody so they can't calm down anymore, and we're in this cyber Wi-Fi zone reality. So there's a lot in there, but does that give you the basic, you know, idea? I mean, pretty much you already knew that, but I've just added in some things, right? Yeah, some points of understanding. Okay.
Yeah, you know, just one comment, because you were talking about the telluric energies and whatnot. So many of the ley lines, the old word for ley line was dragon line. That's right. They talk about dragon lines, yeah. So one of the comments I wanted to make was that in sort of preparing for this evening, I was stumbling on researchers who have, you know, they're looking at these children who are coming in, and you know, you can call them star children, whatever, but they come in and they're seeing dragons, they have companions, they have, you know, and so I guess I'm sort of wondering, you know, I mean, to me that's really exciting, you know, and is that going to continue? And, you know, it seems like the more they're of those kids who would talk about what they're doing, you know, the more sort of commonplace it would become or something.
Yeah, absolutely. A new normal. Yeah, there's competing agendas. You know, there's that mission of people who are coming in, souls who are coming in awake or ready to awaken. There are fairies that are coming in awake or ready to awaken. And then there's all the other stuff going on. So it's all happening at the same time. And these souls are like, we got to go in now, dive, you know? And so those of us who are awakening, you know, we send the ripples out, and then those children who are coming in, they send the ripples out, and then they find their pods and their kin, and the positive net, the positive grid grows to dissolve out the cyber grid and, you know, the other things that are going on, the trauma grids and things around the planet. Okay, another question?
So I work with guides, spirit guides and angels, and also fairies as well. And I sometimes, when a client comes to see me, sometimes I can see them being surrounded by fairies. And I actually had a question, which I think you've answered in sort of a roundabout, interesting way here. My question was that when you were describing fairies earlier and the attributes of fairies, I didn't hear, and I was wondering about them being tricksters as well sometimes.